I saw an ad the other day that simply said, wedding dress for sale, never been used, we'll trade for a shotgun. She must have been angry, and that's the word for the morning. What does God's word say about anger? Let me begin by saying there is a righteous indignation, a spiritual anger that God blesses. It's the kind of anger that Jesus revealed when he cast out the money changers in the temple. And sometimes when we stand for what's right and are angry about what's wrong and do so in a biblical and spiritual way, God can indeed bless that kind of righteous anger. But I don't think that's the problem the great majority of the time. We are flesh. We are human. We live in a broken world. We always seem to be mad at something or someone. We are divided, and Satan is charmed and pleased to see even the response of a great many Christians. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 17 through 27. And then please keep your Bibles open if you have that copy of God's Word with you, because we're just going to move through the verses to show you two things. One, the problem with anger, and second, the solution to anger. So let's read beginning in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let's pray together. Father, as this passage of Scripture comes to life, help us to understand it, appropriate it, and live by it. Father, for all of us today who from time to time give way to anger, would you fill us with your Spirit and make us overcomers to your honor and to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So what is the problem with anger? When you blow it, when you snap at someone, when you in anger and resentment try to get even, what does the Word of God say about that? Through the verses that I've just read in your hearing, there are five problems with anger. Let's see if we can find them together. First of all, when we grow angry, it displays who we used to be. It displays the former life. Now, the passage says in two different places, put off your old self. Your old self was where your mind was darkened, where you were alienated from God, where you were hard in your heart, and where you were impure in your thinking and in your lifestyle. And Paul says to the church at Ephesus, you need to put off your old self. You may say to me, well, Pastor, it's easier said than done because that's who I am. No, that's who you used to be. If you are a Christian, you're not who you used to be. If you are still who you used to be, you're not a Christian. So if you've been born of the Spirit of the living God, anger, resentment, bitterness is supposed to be expelled when the presence of the Spirit comes to dwell. Put off your old self. You have no business with a mind that is still dark to the things of evil, alienated from the presence of God, a heart that is hard toward something or somebody, and impure in your thinking. Your new self is a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things have passed away, and all things have become new. Anger must be dealt with by the presence of the Spirit that now indwells every born-again believer. There is no exclusion. You cannot be different from anybody else. If you're a Christian, anger must be dealt with by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second problem that I see is that it dishonors and it disobeys God. Look at verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. I hope you're well aware of the fact that a great many people who profess Jesus don't possess Jesus, and that a lot of folks who sit in pews are not going to stand around the throne, and a great many people who walk the church aisle are not going to walk streets of gold. It's not about who you are and what you've done on this earth. It's about who He is and what He did when He came to live and to love and to die and to be buried and to be raised from the grave. And unless you know Him, and unless you know Him intimately and personally, unless you have received Him and accepted Him, unless He lives inside of you, your anger is a result of the human flesh. But if Jesus Christ lives inside of you and you grow angry and strike out, you grow angry and hurt others, it dishonors God. It disobeys Him. It's not the way you learned Christ. Oh, it's the way the devil taught you. Have you ever noticed that you have to teach a child math and English and biology? But no one ever has to teach a child to throw a temper tantrum. They learn how to do that on their own. And unfortunately, they grow up, and without the disciplines of Christ, they continue to throw those same temper tantrums. And because you have added years to your life does not mean you have added life to your years. It dishonors God. Disobeys Him. A third problem that I see in this text is that this destroys unity among believers. Verse 25 says, therefore, as a result of the fact that God has said, make a change. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. When there's anger in your home, there's division. When you're angry with your spouse, when you're angry with your children, when as a child you're angry with your parents, when you're angry at work with your employer or your employees, when you're angry within the church because she did or he did or she didn't do or he didn't do, there is something about that anger that divides and destroys the fellowship of the believers. You cannot pray together with someone you're angry with. You cannot worship together when your mind is more on the person across the aisle or sitting in front of you than it is on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Anger, resentment, and bitterness, those are things that divide the church of the living God. Those are things that split us, that harm us, that hurt us, that break us. And for the 38 plus years that I've been pastor at Central, God has kept the unity of the church. And what a wonderful testimony you have been to the city of Conway that you are in unity one with another. But be careful. one of the places where Satan loves to roam, one of the places where he loves to work, one of the places where he loves to get involved is in the mind of any professing believer who will think of some other professing believer less than we ought to. Speak the truth to your neighbor, for we are one in the bond of love. We are one in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a fourth problem indicated here. It delights the devil. It says in verse 27, give no opportunity to the devil. How many of you are old enough to remember the Fuller Brush Salesman? Let me see your hands. All the rest of you, just listen and learn. Back in the day when a fella had to go from door to door to make a living, he carried a suitcase. If you were wealthy enough to have a doorbell, and not everybody did, they rung your doorbell. If not, you heard a rapping on the door that would not stop until you opened the door. And the moment that you opened the door, the Fuller Brush Man stuck his foot between the door and the door frame. Evidently, he'd been taught that that was the best way to sell his product. Because no matter how many times you said no with the foot in the door, he proceeded to tell you why he needed to come in and show you his equipment, his product. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying don't do. When Satan knocks at your door, don't give him a foothold. Don't give him room to operate. Don't allow him to come into the circumstances. Don't allow him to sit down beside you and whisper in your ear how awful that other fella really is. Don't let him taint you and turn you to the place where you think of others in an ungodly and unbiblical way. Satan rejoices to get into the fellowship of the saints and tear down what we have spent years building up. When we exalt one another, it honors God. When we debase one another, it pleases the devil. And if you're a child of God, you have no business pleasing Satan. You have all the business in this world exalting and honoring your Lord. The devil is delighted, so give no opportunity to him. You want none of his products. You want none of what he's selling. You want to make sure he's not welcome at your house. I see a fifth problem here in this passage, and that is that when we are angry, when we hurt one another with our words, when we blow it, when we snap, it disarms the testimony of the church. Do you know out there in the world that you live in, that you work in, that you go to school in, that you shop in? Do you know out there is only one thing, according to the Bible, that convinces them that we are authentic, that we're the real deal? You know what that one thing is? Love. By this, Jesus said, all men shall know you are my disciples indeed if you love one another. And when we look like, act like, and talk like we have fallen out of love with one another, it not only delights the devil, but it destroys and disarms the testimony of a New Testament church. It takes all the power out of the shell and the gospel gun. We cannot win a world for Christ when we are bickering and complaining and murmuring and griping and hurting one another with our sharp words and our resentment and our anger. I think sometimes that we are our own worst advertisement just because of how we treat one another. Gossip, putting the other fellow down to make yourself look bigger. is only a puff of smoke that does not last, for it won't be long before you're the small one when you gossip about others. Anger, it disarms the testimony of the church. Well, I promised you I'd offer some solutions, and I spoke from the book of James last week and didn't get quite through, so I'm going to go back and claim a couple of thoughts from James as solutions to the problem of anger. First and foremost is patience. You know how the world says count to 10 before you say something or react or respond in a certain way? Wouldn't it be better if we just quoted a verse of Scripture? Wouldn't it be better if we had a life's verse that when we feel bitterness, anger, resentment coming on towards someone, we just quoted a verse of Scripture? Wouldn't it be good if we recognize that nobody has ever done to us what we did to Jesus, and He was quick to forgive us of our trespasses? Wouldn't it be good if we could become patient, so much so that we allowed others to fail and have time to get up before we drove them further down? Wouldn't it be good if we learned to think through, to analyze, to pray over a situation before we responded in negativity with hurtful words and impatient thoughts? James 1:9 says, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I think he said it this way: be really quick to listen to what people have to say. Be careful, be mindful, be a little slower in speaking, and really slow down when it comes to getting angry. And you know why he said that? Because the next verse says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You cannot mix up the righteousness of God in a bowl that includes your anger and your animosity and your resentment. Now, I don't know who needs that. Maybe only a few, but in a room this size, I'm quite sure that a few of us do need to hear that patience is a gift of God to keep us from doing more and saying more than we can account for. A second solution to anger is purity. He says, put away filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He says in verse 17, you're not who you used to be. You can't walk any longer like you did in the futility of your mind when your heart was hard and your understanding was darkened. He says you need to put off your old self and put on a new self that is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, purity. Not that I'm too good to get angry, but that He is too good to let me get angry. Not that I am too righteous to get angry, but that He is too righteous to allow me to become angry. Anger is to the spiritual life what cancer is to the physical body. It will destroy you. There is a third thing here, and it's a principle, and I'm quite sure you've heard it through the years. It's found in Matthew 18. If you come to sing your songs of praise, if you come to worship, if you come to give, in other words, in today's language, if you come to church, if you're going to try to spend time in the presence of God, and suddenly it occurs to you that you have aught against a brother, you're angry with him, you're resentful, you're bitter because of something or somebody, he says, leave your gift in the altar. Go find that brother, that sister. Talk it over. Pray it through. And turn an enemy into a friend. The principle of Matthew 18 is simply this: that you cannot pray when you are angry, that you cannot worship when you are angry, and that anger needs to be brought to the throne of God and dealt with so that you can pray and you can worship and you can serve the true and the living God. And the last thing that I would offer this morning about anger is that it can always be solved when you're willing to spend time in prayer. Listen to this passage. Everywhere, Paul says, men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and quarreling. You know what he's saying? You cannot pray and lift up holy hands when you are angry and quarreling. So when you dismiss anger and quarreling, you are able to pray and lift up holy hands. You're angry at somebody? Intensify your prayer life by praying for them. You're bitter towards somebody? Intensify your prayer life by praying for them. You've got resentment in your heart because of how somebody treated you? Intensify your prayer life by praying for them. And the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous will accomplish much. Be patient. Ask God to purify your heart so there's no room for the activity of the evil one. Follow the principles of Scripture. It might be time to visit with somebody. It surely might be time to pray with somebody. It's always time to pray so that you don't display who you used to be. You don't dishonor and disobey God. You don't destroy the unity and the fellowship of the saints. You don't delight the devil. And you don't rob us of the testimony of loving one another. Anger's a problem. The passage says so. But there is a solution. Just be patient. Just ask God to cleanse your heart and take away bitterness, resentment, anger, and hate. Ask God to reveal to you how to go about fixing the problem. And as always, spend time in prayer. Let's stand. Please just remain where you are for a moment. The quietness of the hour encourages folks to respond to the call of the gospel. Here's what I'd like for you to do. If you do not know Christ and you're not certain that you do, there'll be pastors here. The most important decision you can make today or any day is to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. If you want to become a part of our church family, this would be a great day to do that. The pastors will explain to you how that can happen. If in your heart this morning you know that when you think of a person or you see a face, anger, bitterness, and resentment comes to you, why not confess that and deal with that? Why not become that person who is an overcomer when it comes to anger? You could do that this morning. And one of the pastors would pray with you, or you can just come and find a kneeling place in the altar and ask God to reveal, to lift that burden, to show you what to do. The Spirit of God will speak to the child of God. I hope you'll respond in obedience while Daryl leads us and the pastors come.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek.